Welcome to Orbital's Astrology Podcast. I'm your host, William Holloway, and today's show is all about the 5th and 11th house axis. With me to discuss and dissect is astrologer Clarissa Dolphin. Welcome.
Thank you very much, William. Hello, everybody. This is going to be a party time podcast.
On this podcast, I have done the 6th, 8th, 12th, which were all fun as they can be. But I'm really excited about this one because it's actually a fun topic. It's not about the dark stuff.
Yeah. The 5th house is literally the most joyous house of all the 12 that were offered in astrology. So thank you for having me on this one.
I know.
I feel so hyped. Yeah.
Totally. And we actually kind of met in a very 5th house, 11th house scenario. So I met you in April at LA Astrofest. My friend Vivi Henriette was one of the astrologers that put it together. And you spoke at it and you did a really great talk on solar sanity, right?
Yes.
That was awesome. To me, that was the perfect 11th house activity, right? It's we all have astrology. Here we are with our fellow astrologers doing the thing that we love in community.
Exactly. And having a good time. We met at the LA Astrofest, I think multiple times. First during the play.
Oh yeah,
which is so 5th house, 11th house access in addition to just the event alone. And then we actually talked during the breakfast burrito party or the breakfast taco party. And then we were just talking about Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I'm saying that you got to go listen to Blackout.
Yeah.
Because you were wearing that really great fur coat. You were going out that night. You were going somewhere.
Which is another 5th house, perfect thing. Because I had to queen myself up and adorn. And yes, I was going to a pirate mermaid bar party with strippers after. So yeah.
That's fun. That's very fun. Did you have a good time?
It was delightfully fun, every aspect of it. So including talking to you and the whole, so everything was fun. It was amazing. And the perfect segue into this 5th house stuff.
It's good. Here we are. All right. So let's get into it then. So we are here to talk about the 5th house, 11th house axis. I wanted to really do both because in the past I just did house by house, but there's something about the relationship between the 5th and the 11th I find very interesting. And so it just made sense to do them together. And so we'll break them down separately first. So the 5th house is known as the house of good fortune, which a big part of that is it trines the first house. So that's a big part of understanding the significations of the 5th house is because it has such a good relationship with the first house. It's known as the house of pleasure, leisure, creativity, self-expression, but also sports, games, bars, clubs, having fun, theater, sex, children, which for the longest time I don't know why I had such a hard time with children being there, but it does make sense, especially when you think about back in the day, having children was good luck, especially if they lived, right?
So,
and it would be really good for your lineage to have children carry on your whatever your lineage is. So when I started thinking of it that way, I'm like, oh yeah, it is used to be really seen as a really positive good luck thing to have children. So
good point.
Yeah. But yeah, when you think of the 5th house, what pops out to you?
I mean, all of those things, really, everything that you listed, but also unbridled joy for the individual. There's a lot of thing that pops up for me because it is under the horizon. So anything, all of the houses from the first house to the 6th house, they're all under the horizon and they're all deeply personal in the natal chart. So the 5th house is joy that's not necessarily shared with others. So the sex stuff is interesting because the coitus and sex is obviously a shared experience, yeah. But the way that I relate to the 5th house is stuff that you like to do no matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't give a crap about outside influence on the activities that delight you. other things with the fifth house is it's like the games and stuff. It's fifth house is also speculative ventures, the way that I've been trained and that I use it. So it's like gambling and all the like random stuff. So the spontaneity of the fifth house is, I think, part of its delight. And I think that could be the one con with the fifth house too, because it's so random. Yeah. What are
That's
your
a
thoughts?
when you think about gambling, but also like, and we'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk about our own house and relationship, because I have a very pronounced fifth house, which has been positive for the most part. But then I think of some of the darker things in my life have been attributed to my early 20s. I had struggled with addiction. So having a fifth house, a prominent fifth house, squaring the eighth house, Neptune in the eighth house. So while my fifth house trines my first house, and there have been many, many amazing things artistically, and I have to enjoy myself, blah, blah, blah. There's also been like taking things too far, like always only wanting, like my early 20s, like you couldn't get me to do anything unless it was about having a good time. Like I had to enjoy myself or else I wasn't gonna do it. So there's that kind of other side of it too. Like it's having fun. And obviously sometimes we can take fun too far.
Yeah. How many stories do we know of like sexual addiction or just like going like off the rails? Yeah, so that is the dark side of the fifth house, depending on the extremity of it, right? Because like in astrology, to me, it's like, obviously, I'm a harmonic astrologer, and in harmonic astrology, the purview is like the aspects take precedence. They're the most strong things, and also like a snippet of the rules or whatever from harmonics or the purview is like the more the merrier. So if you have a million planets in the fifth house and it's super pronounced, then it's gonna be extra, right? Like, or if you have a lot of aspects or whatever. So yeah, extraness. It could be like very fifth. So full disclosure, I love extra, even if it goes off the rails.
Same. It's all good with me.
Yeah, we're living, right? And I like that lifeness, that liveliness in the fifth house. I'm getting body chills right now, like just talking and experiencing it. Yeah.
That's what we need in life. The things that remind you that you're alive, that we're living in
Yes.
a breathing, living, functioning world. It's so necessary to like pinch yourself and be like, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Now, the 11th house is directly across from the fifth house. The 11th house is known as the house of good spirit. So, whereas the fifth house is known as the house of good fortune, the 11th is known as the house of good spirit. Some of the significations for the 11th house are friends, hopes and dreams, and individuals' ties to memberships of the collective. So, I think often about the 11th house and its relationship to the other, like to the seventh house and those partnerships, or to the third, because the third can be like internet, but then there's like 11th house can be like internet community. So I think a lot of the 11th house to me it has a lot to do with its connection to what the other houses are. But yeah, like people who share common interests with you, also benefactors and patrons are very 11th house. Clubs, groups, organizations. What do you think of that, about those things for the 11th house?
I think, yeah, like 1,000,000%. And to your point earlier about how the 11th house is connected to like the seven and the third, that I think is so on point with, I think, like, obviously the house itself is really important. Like, if you have Pluto in your fifth house, it's Pluto in your fifth house, you know? And to me, there's so much movement in an astrology chart and there's so much connection. So even though you have like a prominent thing in one house, it's connected to a million houses. So for example, like if like this fifth house transit situation, in transits, in my opinion, the opposing house, the opposite house is always included in the transit. I can't explain it. I don't know why. You know, and so when we're talking about the fifth house, it does grab in the 11th house for some reason. And maybe that's why, you know, old astrologers from prior generations were like assigning friendships to fifth house because, yeah, it did ping the 11th house at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, like, and also to your earlier point of the 11 being tied to the seven and third house, I totally, that's how I work with houses in a lot of ways, like is the triad situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that is, and so like there are four triads, and their triads are like combinations of modality and elements. And so every element is in a triad. So we're talking about the fifth house and the 11th. The fifth house triad is the ascendant triad. It's 1, 5, 9, the trine. And so they're all like the Aries is the cardinal one. Then we have the fifth house, which is the fixed one. And then we have the ninth house, which is the mutable one. So there goes the modality. And then they're all fire. So, you know, with the 11th house, the triad is the descendant triad. So it starts at the, all of these triads start at the cardinal point in the axis.
Right.
So it starts 7, 11, and 3. There's something, so there's the triad element of it. And then there's the polarity element of each house that you're talking about or using or analyzing.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's super important to think about the relationships and especially the opposing house. So like I'm a Virgo sun, right? I'm in the fifth house. I think often about my relationship to Pisces. I don't have any planets in the 11th house, but I do have a relationship to that 11th house, and it's related to Pisces. It's related to that Jupiter, but it's also related to my Virgo-ness. You know, maybe Pisces needs to get a little more Virgo in itself sometimes and vice versa. You know, Virgo needs to get a little Pisces in there sometimes. Stop looking at the details too much. So little things like that, I think, you know, give you some concept of why polarity is so important.
You're freaking me out in the best way. Body chills again. Like, because first of all, I'm outed. I'm a Virgo moon, and Virgo moon is in my third house. Your sun is in my ninth, and we're podcasting right now.
Yes.
So there goes the access like magic right there. And then my fifth house is ruled by Libra. And my opposing 11th house is obviously Aries, and I have nothing in Aries. But all of my friends are Aries in some capacity. I kid you not, literally all of my best friends, we call ourselves the soul family, all of them have Aries moon, all of them. And yeah, and like, Aries are everywhere, and Aries, there was a part when I was younger and ignorant, because it was ignorance, I used to be like, oh, I hate Aries, because I've always been into astrology my entire life.
Yeah.
And so my younger teen astrology self or 20s astrology self was like hating on Aries.
Me too.
But the reality is, we love you now, Aries.
Yeah, I love my Aries people now, but only by, you know, stereotypes and not fully understanding that earlier judgmental self we have as early astrology lovers.
That we hopefully, you know, mature out of at this stage. But yeah, like 11th house, all my peoples are Aries. There we go. Nothing in it.
Yeah.
11th house Aries people, everybody, it's filled even though there's nothing in it.
Right. If you put all your friends there, then you see all the connection. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing with my Pisces house. So my relationships, my major ones have been all Pisces. So therefore that makes
sense.
Yeah. But besides that, I would always say like, I don't really know like that, man. I'm not friends with a lot of Pisces, but what I realized as I became an astrologer over the last 5 years is that so many of my friends are Pisces risings.
Wow.
Yeah. So there it is. I wanted to bring up that whereas Venus is the joy of the fifth house, Jupiter is the joy of the 11th house. That can also give us a sense of the 11th house. And I think that can, especially when it comes to, you know, when people talk about hopes and dreams for the future, that one always felt very abstract to me. I'm like, okay, my hopes and dreams, what does that even mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, those are the same questions my Virgo moon asks about like everything. And so yes, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it is abstract, but I think the 11th house is an abstract house.
Times where I've had like big transits to the 11th, I think about, I remember being at like a music festival. There was one time, and so there's just like that feeling of like community and everyone's together, and that is an abstract thing, right? Which is odd if you think about it, but it is abstract. The concept of everyone being on the same page or wavelength or vibe, or everyone's in a good mood. Like, why? I don't know. How did that
Thank you.
happen?
Yeah, how did it even happen? Actually, you just kind of gave me an epiphany about the randomness of both the fifth and the 11th house axis. Because the whole idea of coming together, there's so much randomness in the 11th. So, like, if you're putting on an event, who's going to show up? We don't know. We hope. You know, whomever's going to show up, it's still kind of like a gamble. But also, what's going to be created? We don't really know. So there's like a creativity in the 11th house too, because it's like the fifth house is like, hell yeah, I like to paint. I don't care if I'm ever a professional painter or whatever. The 11th house is like, I want painters to, live the most fulfilled life. Let's join together to make sure that happens. It's like collective ideals. It's like, it's what you want to see in the world with bodies of people aligned to at in the same goal. And that's always random.
It is random. You never know how it's going to go, right? You hope, and you pray, whatever, hopes and dreams. You dream it will be the thing, and then maybe it will. When I think about the fifth house, 11th house axis, like a really good analogy is like artist, art collective. Like that's it. Having a lot of artist friends and like people have like fifth house prominent like solar return chart. They might be working on an album or like, whatever. And then they have this thing happening at 11th house. Well, that's when the release show is. That's when you're going to put it out into the world and everyone's going to come together and support you, buy your album. That's very 11th house. So, yeah, that connection.
Yeah, and it's a trip too because it's like the 11th house as art collective versus the fifth house as the artist. It's very different from like it's straight up groups of people. It's not it's like and like best friends and stuff, that's seventh house. That's like because you have like skin in the it's one on one. When we get to, the 11th from the 10th through the 12th, that's like whole all kinds of people and entities. The 12th house is on a whole nother, it's like the whole universe, but the 11th house is like straight up bodies and communities of people. And another random part about it, like, yes, who's gonna show up and all that kind of stuff, but it's also like the 11th house can also be kind of boring collectives, like boards, and it's like nobody's gonna be on a board. Very few people are going to be on a board for their entire lives. So it has this like element of coming in and out as well. So
That's a really good point. The 10th house, I don't always see it as career unless, or well, maybe if that's your part of your identity, right? And that's how you're known in the world, and 10th house is going to be that job, whereas 6th house is the job, if it's just like you're getting a paycheck to do something, you want something else. I've seen the 11th house often relate to work if it has to do with organizations within the work or your coworkers sometimes. Like if something happens that affects everyone at the office, that could be 11th housey. If everyone benefits in some way because everyone got like a cost of living raise or something, that could be a very 11th house thing. Again, yeah, kind of random though. I mean, it is because it's like a game of chance, right? Like that's a big part of like you fifth house again, games, and then there's the game of chance with the 11th, and it's like Will I be successful? Like, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, we fingers crossed.
Fingers
Yeah,
crossed.
that's what you're giving me with this, conversation is the enlightenment and the elucidation of the chance part of the 511 axis.
Yeah.
It's so liberating, actually.
Oh,
Like,
good. Oh,
yeah, thank you very much.
I love that. Well, I mean, I think about they'll say this is a very traditional thing in astrology. The luck of the person that you're looking at their chart. What is the condition of the ruler of their 11th house? Like that's supposed to tell you like how lucky they are throughout their life. And I don't love that because you could have a debilitated ruler of the 11th, but I don't necessarily think that means that you're going to have an unlucky life. But maybe you can glean something from that ruler and like how to approach the things related to your hopes and dreams, right?
Brilliant. I love your approach. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I think like with traditional astrology, the only a traditional astrology that I've been formally trained in and certified in is horary. So I haven't done Hellenistic, and I love horary, and it really informs a lot of the stuff that I do with forecasting and natal chart analysis, including all the triad stuff and the derivative
The
houses.
derivative houses, yeah, that changed everything for me with the horary.
It changes life. Like it's so helpful. Like, but there's other stuff. I'm such a modern astrologer. Harmonics is so modern. It's like it is quantum physics, period. Like harmonics are portals and different dimensions. You go inside the chart like Alice in Wonderland for real.
Well, I definitely
It's
want to
so
talk
cool.
about that when we get at the end. I would love for you to explain a little bit about harmonics astrology because I'm really interested in it, and I think other people would be too. As someone coming from the traditional side of things, I'm growing into a space where like I'm wanting to take on more modern things because. I think there's so much value. There's value in all of it, but we need to break
Yes,
through.
I 1,000,000% agree with you. And that's what I mean. Like, if you have a debilitated, 11th house ruler by, traditional purview, you're not fucked. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you have this extremely unfortunate life for that reason and things like that. That's why traditional astrology. Take what you get from it and much respect to our predecessors because we would have nothing without their brilliance. And I don't believe, I can't live like that, William.
No, me either. I
I
can't either.
can't
I refuse. I refuse. I won't do
Yeah.
it.
Exactly.
I just think, yeah, we need to be open. I don't know where that thought was going to end, but.
Yeah, and like open to like what does debilitated mean in 2025, versus what it meant in 1600 when zodiac signs were like Scorpio is the robber that will eateth your goat milk or,
And
like
like
I
kill
don't
your
know.
children.
Yeah, kill all your children, rob all the hay from your barn or whatever, like it's really, yeah, I have a debilitated Jupiter too. Jupiter in Capricorn. So what does that mean? I don't even really know,
It means that we are gifted with the opportunity to be more creative.
That's actually exactly what I was just thinking with kind of debility and things like that, is that it just doesn't function as quote normal. And so, what does that mean? That's just more creativity and expression. And that's that. And what a joy and what a value, to be a little creative and weird, to be off key, It's just like, oh. So, to me, actually, I think. You've elucidated me. Now I know what debility is. It's just a little off key. You know what I mean?
Yeah, off
Like, and that
key.
is awesome.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so yeah, let's look at some famous people with important fifth house and 11th house placements. All right, so fifth house sons, actually, a lot of this list right here, they all have a handful of planets in the fifth. So Tina Turner has her sun, Mercury, and Venus in the fifth. Justin Bieber, sun, Saturn, and Venus. Dolly Parton, sun, Mercury, and Venus.
Walt Disney had a stellium in the fifth house, including Venus, which actually, let's go to the next list of people with Venus in the fifth, because I think that really speaks to the fifth house and the power of Venus in the fifth. So Elizabeth Taylor had Venus in the fifth, Michelangelo, Christian Dior, and Steven Spielberg. They all had prominent Venus in the fifth. And I want to say one, two, three of them had Aries in Venus.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's interesting because they are all, especially like Michelangelo, Steven Spielberg, Christian Dior. I mean, these are like top artists of their field.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is right. All the aesthetic thing, new look, Christian Dior, Steven Bill Spielberg, like every single visual aesthetic film of our childhoods.
Yep.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Taylor obviously in the movies, and the most beautiful woman, or one of the most beautiful women of all time type of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it tracks for me.
Yeah, it works for me. And then this is the one that I find the most interesting, actually, is people with prominent sun in the 11th is Liza Minnelli, Lady Gaga, Cher, Donald Trump, Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, Rockefeller, and Gloria Vanderbilt. So, I mean, one thing off the top of my head is that they were all are or were very privileged. In fact, I can't speak for Marilyn Monroe or James Dean. Maybe they take them out of it. Maybe they're, the whole thing with being an 11th house son is just like they're these kind of iconic, I mean, people collect Marilyn Monroe and James Dean stuff. You know what I mean? Like there are people who are so, their fandom is just like over the top. You know what I mean? Like where it's just like James Dean, everything, kind of like the Elvis people. But when it comes to Liza Minnelli, Lady Gaga, Cher, Donald Trump, Rockefeller, Gloria Vanderbilt, these people were all privileged. They were all born into something. You know, they did not, Liza Minnelli, obviously, her mother was. Judy Garland. Lady Gaga was born into a very rich family and they helped support her early on. Like they put all their money into her career. Cher, as famous as she is, I mean, her mother was an actress and had all those connections. We don't have to say anything else about Donald Trump. I mean, that's obvious. But then Rockefeller, Vanderbilt. Yeah, I don't know. So it's just interesting. Like, their wealth was attained pretty easily, I guess is something I would say about that.
Speaking to like the good fortune of the 511th axis, and like I think I have similar reactions to it, the cult aspect of most of these people, and even just the names, right? Not necessarily the individuals, which is very fascinating, like the Vanderbilt name, the Rockefeller name, like it's on all these buildings across the United States. It's like the cult of the legacy of the name. And it's like, so I think another element that's popping up for me with this Sun and 11th house list is notoriety, which is a different way of looking at the 11th house effect. Because, and that's the same thing with the D-man, who I loathe, but whatever, like, yeah, like the whole put Trump University, Trump, like all the buildings and things, like I think that's what these like super, so yes, born into fortune, to your point, absolutely, and also like their names spread everywhere. Lady Gaga, I love her, she's one of my favorite pop artists. Yeah, like
Totally.
abracadabra, I've just been
Oh,
like
that's such a jam.
laughing.
I know. It's like I run to that. That's my running. I'm like, I gotta get faster. Come on.
Abracadabra, like, yes. I'm in that cult, you know. I love Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
What's fascinating to me, like when we were talking about the other fifth house people, like Tina Turner, I love Tina Turner so much, all of her. And it seems like the 11th house seems to be more given. Like, here are the fortunate external sources for you. And it seems like the fifth house people made it themselves. Like
Yes.
they didn't, you know, it was them that generated, which actually shows it was like their perspective. It was Tina Turner, it was Dolly Parton, it was, you know, Walt Disney himself that came out in the world, not like, oh, we have like good connections and resources and we were fortunate. And that to me, it shows that distinction again. With the horizon houses, where it's like everything below the horizon, even though you are a famous person or whatever, you built it your damn self. You're under the horizon. Whereas over the horizon, it's like you were given something from like external, wasn't you? It's not your personality necessarily.
Right.
Interesting.
No, that's a very good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. I mean, another one, Liza Minnelli, Lady Gaga, Cher, obviously they're all gay icons. And so there's something about that too. It made me start thinking about the 11th house and like queer community, like lifting these ladies up. And like, again, it's not really them, it's their personas that are being elevated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when I was having my fifth house perfected year, so when I turned 40, that was when I had been studying astrology really seriously in my fourth house year, where I was like, I'm going to be an astrologer. But it was in that fifth house year where I started doing readings. I started calling myself an astrologer. I started being an astrologer online. So it was like part of my identity with my sun in the fifth. When Saturn was in Pisces, my 11th house is Pisces. That's when I moved from living in Baltimore in like this community where I was around people all the time to moving out in the middle of nowhere where most of my relationships are online or just with the people that I'm really close with. But I didn't necessarily have community anymore, except for like online astrologers or people that I talk with on Zoom. So I thought that was interesting with, Saturn the 11th kind of restricting, the ways in which I can connect with people.
Dang, that's so pertinent. Now I want to dig. Damn it, what's my perfection year? I'm 41.
Okay, so you're in a sixth house here.
Okay, so last year my 40 was my fifth house perfection year. And what happened then? Well, you know what? Actually, like, and this is actually really personal, which is so
Oh,
fifth house.
yeah.
I guess my fifth house perfection year when I was 40, I really became my most creative self that I know of so far in my adulthood, definitely professionally. But I rebranded. So
Oh,
I.
there you go.
My practice, right there you go. And it was like such a thing too. And I thought I was gonna die. My fifth house is Mars and Saturn in Scorpio.
Okay.
It's ruled by like, because I use equal from the ascendant house charting system. So all of my house cusps are the same degrees, which is 29-31. So it's actually Libra, but it's a fifth house. Scorpio, Mars, Saturn. Get your ish together. It's so very doing a lot of work and toil, which is what create rebranding is, as beautiful as it is. And it was actually really terrifying, but that goes to, you know, that fifth house, that gamble thing that we're talking about, the fifth and 11th house access in real life. Like,
Yeah.
yes, it's delightful and it's beautiful. And actually, it's amazing. I got my, you know, brand out, all the colors of my brand, all the whole thing. Yeah, wow, dang. Thinking about this like in real life, it's like a real, it really happens there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I
Yeah.
love to hear that. Well, speaking of your brand, you recently had the What the Fuck USA course that you were offering. How would you describe what that is? I signed up for it, by the way. I haven't watched the replay yet because I was traveling, but
Oh, good Lord. I wonder what you think of the replay because we are talking about some serious ish in that container. Yeah, I would call it a container series, which is in my opinion, containers are like little sanctuaries for every piece of the divinatory and spiritual work that we do. And containers only involve the people who are in the container. And it's like a very spiritual, like space, like a spiritual womb or something, or temple for like what we're doing. So that's what I do. I do like container webinar series. I did the Courageous Curiosity container earlier this year, which was, reading the fifth and the 13th harmonics. It's a different level of creativity than the fifth house. That's like the fifth harmonic, which is really interesting.
yeah.
I also teach. I have Harmonic Astrology 101. I'm going to teach the lunar nodes based on my research with this. I'm
Cool.
a nerd. Yeah, I'm a nerd. I've researched it. I've researched like what the things actually do because we have the tools now.
Right.
We've got like software where we can actually, look at charts with AA data, verified birth data, and read exactly what everything actually does. So anyway, I do that, and my next course is going to be the lunar nodes. I also serve clients. I've served like thousands of clients. I don't know how many sessions I've been at. It's been so many
Great.
since I started my practice in 2013. So yeah, my brand is Clarissa Dolphin Explains It All.
I love that.
And thank
Did you
you.
watch Clarissa Explains It All back in the day? Was that a show you watched?
A 1,000,000% all the time. I remember the little guitar riff, the thing.
Yeah. It's a I feel like I have dreams in that bedroom, but not because
You
I
think?
was such a huge Not because I was such a huge Clarissa Explains It All person, although I was into like the vibe of it, the music. I loved because she was like hip and cool. I
Yeah.
mean, compared to her contemporaries.
Yes.
But wasn't it like the same bedroom as like didn't Zach Morris have the same bedroom and like it was the same or like Small Wonder? Did you ever watch that show Small Wonder with the robot, Bicky?
I no, not, but I think, okay, yes, with Zach, and I think also Blossom had that or a similar bedroom. Yeah.
Where it was like really easy to climb up because our friends were always coming
Yeah.
in their window.
I guess like all 90s stuff with people climbing in your window.
It was the thing, I know. And it's funny when I think back, I definitely had friends. You couldn't climb up to my bedroom window. I had a friend who you could climb up to her bedroom. And I think when her parents found out how the boys were climbing up to their bedroom, they did something about it.
Oh my God.
And that was in the 90s. So I guess climbing up to bedrooms was a thing. I don't know.
Your friend was living the 90s dream right
She
there.
really was. Well, before we get into the game, I did want to ask
Yes.
about if you could give us, I know you have a class on it, but essentially, what is harmonic astrology? What sets it apart?
So harmonic astrology, I think, is actually origin astrology. It is the OG astrology of all astrologies. It is aspects. When I say harmonic, it is an aspect. So the
Yeah.
square is the fourth harmonic. It is that. It's the trine's the third harmonic. And so the way that the calculations work with harmonics is that aspects are not limited to the easily divisible total Ptolemaic aspects that we use, like the three and the two and the four numbers, you can go literally to a million if you wanted to. Like, that's how you could divide the circle that we use for
Wow.
astrology analysis. And so that's what it is. It literally is the infinite. So, there are things that are so resonant in harmonics that you can never visually see in a first harmonic natal chart that most of us use that are so very strong. And like topple up everything. Like, it's fascinating because there's some, I would say, posers out here. There are some very, there are very few good harmonic astrologers. I would say about like a half dozen, professional. And then there are some though that like try to be like, I'm a harmonic astrologer, who are well known too. But like a lot of the things that I hear them say though, like, oh, harmonics are subtle little flavors. Excuse me, I'm like
You're
drooling.
Fine.
Look at me.
You're fine.
Oh my God, like, I'm so into it. No, but like, they're like, oh, they're subtle little things, blah, blah, blah. No, they're like the whole theme of your life, every little aspect of it, something in your harmonic that wasn't there that you couldn't ever access just in the natal chart. So, yeah, and like, literally the idea of infinity and quantum physics, how energy and symmetry creates our reality across dimensions, that's harmonic astrology.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible. And I've heard you explain it before and I understand it more now, and I want to get more into it. I think it's really fascinating. I think it's a really cool part of the astrology world. You don't hear enough about. So thanks for doing the good work.
God bless you too, William. Thank you.
Yeah. Shall we play the Wheel of Fate?
Please.
Okay. Let's begin. All right, so we are going to play the Wheel of Fate, which is a very simple game. Basically, I spin a wheel that lands on a random planet, and then I spin another wheel, lands on a random sign, and we just riff on that. Are we ready?
Ready.
All right. Here we go.
Oh.
Oh, Mars. All right. Mars and oh. Thought we were going to get Scorpio for a minute. Mars in Sagittarius. I think of somebody taking the long way. That's my first thought. Mars in Sagittarius is all about a good story.
Yeah. Yeah. Mars Sagittarius, I would also suspect to be all over the place. For sure, it lives for exploration and action. Can get really, really bored. I love the long-windedness and stuff because that's just Sagittarius in general. Yeah. But even though it's Mars, I think it does kind of have like a mercurial element to it, where it's like, the attention span is short unless it's elevating and or, you know, fun tidbits of information. I think a good part about it would be a lot of different interests, and for certain, some type of cosmopolitan element, where Mars in Sagittarius is likely to have been to multiple countries or states or cities or whatever. It's not a stationary energy, and would be a great truck driver or a pilot or something, you know, to like literally like take us speed racer, you know, let's get in the van and like fly, you know. But like, if I would not depend on this person and like a boring, solid kind of traditional relationship. I don't think that it would do traditional relationships, depending. It needs other things in the chart to support this. But if the number one is active exploration.
Yeah, good for an adventure, but you might want to be in charge of the itinerary. They love a good story, right? They want to be part of the story.
Yeah, one of the main characters in the story, all over the place, on everybody's lips, you know, in the mix.
in the mix. This is perfect. It ties into the talk we had earlier. Steven Spielberg has Mars and Sagittarius. So I think
Wow.
that sums it up right there. That's a pretty positive manifestation of Mars and Sagittarius.
ET up in the house with that.
Yes. I think that was the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater. I think.
Really?
Yeah. I have memory of sitting in the back and being really anxious after he was discovered in the cornfield. That really freaked me out. And the sound that came out of his mouth freaked me out.
Oh God, that movie made me cry.
It's a good one.
It's
I
good.
loved E.T. I used to have so much E.T. memorabilia from that time. Oh.
I'm so nostalgic. That like makes me want to cry.
Oh, E.T. Well, I feel like we did that. We did a pretty good job of covering Mars and Sagittarius.
Yeah, we killed it.
Yeah. This was so much
Yeah.
fun.
I got so many like epiphany moments, and it was
Yeah.
just like really fun. This is really fun being in your orbit and talking to you.
Oh,
So
ditto. Yeah.
thank
Yeah.
you.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Ditto. It's hard to say goodbye to you, but we must
I know we must. We must. All right. We'll talk again very soon.
have a great day. Thank you so
All
much,
right. You
Lou.
too.